Hello and welcome to My Home is on the Road show. My name is Dave Manning and this is the show that brings you stories and music from the road. I live on the road. My house is a 1965 Volkswagen microbus and I make my living going up and down the western states playing music in bars and casinos and wherever we'll pay the bills. And we're going to bring you more conversation this week with Andy Duncan, who runs the farmer's market down in Green Valley, Arizona. And that might not sound like a terribly interesting interview, but Annie is also a shaman. And in the course of her life, she's been many things, from the first female corporate executive in the country when she was working for GM as a young woman, all the way to where she is now being a vegetable salesman and all kinds of things in between, including coming down, being diagnosed with cancer at one point about 10 or 11 years ago. And she was told at the time she didn't have very long to live. And on last week's show, if you didn't hear it, you can always go to davemanning.net and the shows are archived there. But if you didn't hear it, she talks a bit about how she kind of resigned herself and went down to the property that she owns south of Green Valley and kind of decided she was just going to be comfortable and wait to die. And then by chance, she wound up meeting a shaman, a man who travels around building alternative houses for people that are in the market for that. And he invited her to come with her and in the process taught her a whole new way of living. And I think the conversation I had with her is definitely worth listening to. And so we're going to kind of pick up where she's talking about, you know, what exactly cancer is. Maybe your home's
on the road. The way that it was explained to me was I was choosing my dis-ease. You know, it's disease, it's dis-ease. It's a tough concept for a lot of people, but I think, well, I feel now, I'm not even supposed to say I think, I'm supposed to stay in my heart so you can hear that that's the red flag I'm looking for. If I'm thinking, I'm trying to rationalize and figure it out. In that process, we can analyze, and the smarter we are and the more we know, the more we can twist the reality of any situation. So that was part of my dis-ease, was I needed to know everything that was coming, going, or had been before me. That's why the 11 years of college. That's why I'm always in my head, is I'm thinking things through. The man that I was working with told me that I had to get into my heart, and that if I went into my heart, I would intuitively know the answer to all things. It's about listening. And it's listening to that intuitive piece that comes through your heart that you can hear, you know, that little voice that you hear when you're standing in front of a table full of food and you just hear this inner voice say, I think I want, you know, this is what I feel like. I want the apples, but the onions don't feel right to me. That's getting in touch with a part of yourself that is giving you answers. And we can live off of that. You know, that's what the Native American Indian population lived off of, was their intuitive guides by paying attention to what was going on in their environment and listening to those intuitive guides telling them. And you can call it spirit or you can call it whatever. You can call it Buddha, you can call it whatever. But it's it has to come by turning off the TV, shutting down the noisy head, spending some time settling down and feeling, actually feeling again, instead of just vibrating. And we are a society that doesn't do that very often. We want to be stimulated so that we don't have to feel. We want to smoke that cigarette so that we don't have to feel. We want to take that drink so that we don't have to feel. How bad it felt to have somebody who loved you tell you that they thought you were a disappointment. You know what I mean? That's what we're running from. So it's a whole different way of doing life energetically. And he also taught me this thing about, you know, what I'm doing is I'm dying because I'm using my energy in a fashion that is destroying me faster than recovering. If you have every cell in your body recover or, you know, completely replace itself within a 7-year cycle, we shouldn't be dying at all. So we have to examine what it is that's killing us. And it's stuff in our environment. It's thoughts in our heads. It's the choices that we make about how we think and feel and act, and the food we eat, you know, that doesn't regenerate us. You know, packaged food, stuff that's processed. It's not feeding us. We have to eat real live food. We got to go back to the basics and get it the way that it was gotten when we didn't have so much automation.
Yeah.
But that takes a commitment. That's another level of commitment towards taking charge of your life and becoming more self-sufficient.
So now would be a good time to explain a little bit about the Green Valley Mall. This is some more stuff that I'll explain better in part one of this. But in short, Green Valley is a retirement community. It's a kind of place where if you pull up to the stoplight in town, it's not surprising to see a golf cart sitting next to you at the stoplight with a couple retired guys looking for the next golf hole. But it's definitely a very quiet town, and it's centered around the Green Valley Mall, which, like a lot of malls in the country, is an expanse of asphalt and low buildings and box stores and things like that. And this mall was hit, like a lot of malls, especially hard during this last recession, and a lot of the storefronts are empty now. And so they were ripe for a new idea. They were ripe for something that would re-engage people with their mall. And along comes Crazy Annie Duncan.
This mall was kind of dried up.
Yeah, this is the beautiful juxtaposition of the old paradigm and the new paradigm joining hands. I drove past Green Valley from two back to Tucson frequently. And I wouldn't even stop here for gas because I thought I'd get run over by some old geezer in a golf cart. And there was this mall that you could see from the freeway that was it was a huge parking lot, huge buildings, no parking, no cars in the parking lot, no activity, no apparent activity. And the sign that was up on the freeway that said, "Real estate leases available, call this number." And I'd seen it and seen it and seen it. And I was on my way to a farmer's market in the next town, Sarita, that afternoon. And I'm driving down the road and I see the sign out of the corner of my eye. And I just heard this voice in my head that said, call that number and ask them if they want a farmer's market. And so I took my cell phone, right, driving 65 miles an hour down the road, dialed in the number, asked them if they wanted a farmer's market, and they said, yes, we've been looking for someone to do it for the last year and a half, haven't been able to find anybody, we're totally excited, come talk to us on Monday. And that was the beginning of it. And I went into negotiations with them, and because of my corporate background, I'm a pretty tough negotiator. So I pretty much said, would you like to have a farmer's market in your dead mall? You know, because I wasn't about to give them any money to be here because they needed, what I saw was they needed me as much as I needed them. and that I had to negotiate this thing so that it was a complete exchange of energy without negotiation, contractual hoo-ha, or money exchanging hands. The only way it was going to work was if we had an agreement to work together. And we did it. We did it, and it was just like the first week, I think I had 30 vendors. The next week it was 45. The next week it was 60. You know, it just grew and grew and grew. We didn't do any advertising. I never solicited a single person to come to the market. A vendor would tell another vendor at another market that they had to come to Green Valley. A shopper would tell somebody that they needed to make their stuff and bring it to the Green Valley market. It was all word of mouth that just traveled out. It was all based on attraction instead of promotion, which is something that I learned in AA as an alcoholic. You know, it's you can't get people in the program through promoting. It's too phony. You know, it's just like the religious thing. It's just, it's too phony. You got to give them an invitation, and if they want to take it, they'll come. But you have to let them take the personal responsibility of saying yes to the invitation. Then they feel responsible. If you sell them on the idea, then they think, if they're disappointed, they think it's your fault. So the magic in this is, sure, you call me, I say yes, you come. If it works for you, great. If it doesn't work for you, great. But you're taking the responsibility of choosing to join us here. And you can't go away saying, wow, I'm really disappointed. They promised me everything and I went away with nothing. You know, so it stays really pure in that level. All attraction and not promotion. We're starting to do advertising now, because I feel like the first year was just building and seeing the potential. We're now the largest farmers market in Southern Arizona. We go every Wednesday. I look for, my formula for business is it a win-win situation for every single person involved? If I can find that formula, yeah, I know it's going to be a success. You know, I can't ask how much money I'm going to make or what's in it for me. That's not allowed. It has to be a win-win for the mall, for the people that come, for the people that shop, for the people that sell, and for me. No way around it. That's just that's a golden formula that works today.
We sat having coffee in Annie's office in the Green Valley Mall, which is not your typical office in a mall. She's got a bed in there, a pretty big bed, and she's got decorations all over the place. The way I explained it in last week's show was it looks like Annie Oakley just got back from a shopping spree at the antique store and country craft store combined. And as she'll hear her mentioned, there's a cat there. She's got her betta fish and little fish bowls. And it's kind of a place that it's so crowded with such nifty Americana stuff that you actually have to watch where you put your feet as you're walking across the room. And that's not even to mention what happens right outside the windows, kind of going to the courtyard of the mall. There's at least 5 feet of just potted plants sitting out there. You know, this is not your typical corporate mall.
I'm pretty out there for the mall scene. You know, I mean, not everybody moves their bed, their dining room table, and their TV set into their office space and 300 plants and their cat, know, so that they can feel comfortable with all their artwork around them so that they can be productive. But you know what? This is what I need.
And how did you wind up with this?
Well,
the office.
They wanted me to be here. They saw how successful the market was going to be, and they were afraid I was going to leave them. So they wanted to give me a carrot. And they said, we want you to have a space to work out of, and we'll charge you, $100 a month for the space. And I signed it. I held a crystal over it, Crystal said yes. I signed on the bottom line. They said, we're not going to tell. Valerie said, I'm not going to tell anybody that this is how you do it. I said, Valerie, I don't read. I don't read anymore. I don't absorb information like that anymore because I don't need to know. I need to feel. And I'm going to feel my way through this. And if I get scared and I don't feel right, I'm not going there. So be very in tune with the fact that I'm reacting to not the bottom line, but the here and now. And if you're bullying me and you're giving me the googly eyes and looking off in the corners while you're trying to get me to sign this piece of paper and making me feel uncomfortable, I'm not signing it. You know, if you're sitting here having a cup of tea with me and we're having a nice time and you're relaxed and you... I said, you need to love me. You need to love me like a sister. And you need to protect me. And if anybody tries to screw me, I expect you to step in and prevent it from happening. And I said, and I'll do exactly the same thing for you. And that I can do. That I can make a commitment to. That I can sign a contract to. I will love you. I will love you forever. And she was like... she was just like... she manages 70 moles. 70 moles.
Holy cow.
Holy... She said, I've never seen anybody do anything like this before. And I said, well, I'm here to tell you. This is how it has to... This is where we're going. I'm just the front runner. I'm just the teacher. I'm just the visionary. I'm the shaman that landed in your mall, like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, and here we are at the table holding a crystal rotating over a contract. And I'm not telling you can't write a contract. I'm not telling you I'm not signing a contract. I'm telling you that I'm going to check it with my methodology for its intention.
Yeah.
And that's good enough for me. And if you want me to get screwed and go to jail and I have to get a lawyer and all that stuff, then that's probably what's going to happen. But you need to be aware that that's what you're setting up and that it's not coming from me.
Well, the experiment paid off. The farmers market grew steadily and has become a great success, really reinvigorating the mall and bringing people back there and making it what it needs to be, like the center of this community. And it's been well over a year that the market has been going on, and folks at the mall and Annie are starting to look forward to the market's second anniversary and what they should do then.
We're going to start. They asked me on our first birthday celebration of the market if I wanted a present, and I said yes. I want to bulldoze up the parking lot. I want to bulldoze up all the asphalt out front and put in a community garden. And I want people to come and garden together as a group. How that's going to happen is simply going to be magic as well. But I have a vision of what it's going to be, and it's about bringing the community together. We have to learn how to work together and not be separate if we're going to survive. Yeah, so I think the growing thing is important. And right off the freeway, yeah, that's a big statement. We're pulling up the asphalt, and we're going back to gardening.
Unpaving paradise.
Yeah, we're unpaving paradise. Do you hear me, Joni Mitchell? Yeah, and that's where the great cosmic joke is. This old corporate mall meets this little hippie farmer girl. And together we hold hands for this vision to take place. And I got to give them a lot of credit because they could be holding me to dance to their tune all the time. And what they're doing is they're coming halfway to me. I'm going halfway to them. You know, they give me a contract. I hold a crystal over it and ask it if it was created in loving intention before I sign it. Instead of reading it, you know, and they're like, woo, you know, But they know and they trust me after this last year that I might be doing it differently, but I'm having a tremendous success. And the success speaks for itself. They're re-examining their lack of success and coming a little closer to maybe the profile that I'm presenting to them. And that is, make this place the heart of your community. Give it to your people. Give it to them. You know, don't give them rules and no's. And, you know, how many places do you go where you see signage everywhere that's like, no skateboarding, no, you know, no everything. I mean, they don't even want you to breathe anymore. You might make a mess. You might become a maintenance problem. They're beginning to loosen up a little bit and seeing that, yeah, they can give it to the community and it's not that big of a deal. Actually, it's a big success. So I think that we can be a model on the mall level for malls that are going dead all over America. You know, I'd like to turn it into an art colony. I'd like to have people living in it so it's alive 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That was the successful model that we saw in the past. Shop owners lived above their shop. There was never any crime because people were always there watching out for what was going on. There was a lot more commitment. And that's what I'm trying to help them see, so that we can do it right here at the mall. I don't know if we can go that far, but I'm getting them to tear up the asphalt and put in a garden, so.
For Annie, the farmer's market is more than teaching people how to grow and eat and enjoy their own food. The farmer's market is about teaching people how to live.
You know, judgment is violence. And you can feel it in your body. We have to stop being in judgment of ourselves. And it starts with you, you know, as an individual saying, I'm just not going to listen to that anymore. Even if it's in my own mind, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop saying I'm worthless, and I'm going to start seeing myself as a beautiful human being with all the potential in the world to do anything that I choose to do today. And I'll tell you what, you're moving. Then you start, that's when the motion begins, and that's when the vortex of energy starts to pull you away from that other place that you've been in. And we need that. We need to get people to feel loved and safe and comfortable, because we can't do anything when they're feeling attacked. The marketplace is my shamanic practice for love and respect. And I've got Jews and Baptists and Lutherans and Episcopalians. I've got Native American Indians. I've got people from Africa. I've got just about the whole circle here of different backgrounds, religious backgrounds. I can't talk to these people like a religious person and say, I have the answer. You know, I've got the answer, and we all need to believe in, you know, hoo-ha, which is pretty much what I'm selling out here, is a lot of hoo-ha. But, I mean, I can't really preface it like that. We all have to believe in hoo-ha. But what I can teach them, and I can only teach them by doing it myself personally and letting them see it through me, is to be loving and respectful to myself and to each human being that comes into this marketplace as a vendor or as a shopper. You know, and we have our struggles, but if it's addressed in a positive light, the person that I'm dealing with that is trying to be negative, that can't get me to play negative, sees something different. The people watching me deal with people that want me to play negative and see that I won't give it to them, see something different. And they don't know exactly what it is, but they know it's something that they like. They see strength and power in it. They have respect for it. And then pretty soon, you start hearing one person say to the next person the same thing that I said to the person before. Right, you know? Yeah. Help the person put their tent up. Don't just stand there in your own spot with all your stuff set up while somebody's struggling right next to you. Go out of your way to help somebody else out. And pretty soon it's just like an infection that spreads through the marketplace where people love and support each other. That's why people come to this market, is they feel the love. I mean, pretty much bottom line, we don't have the, we've got the finest hot pads in the world, I'm sure of it. But, you know, they come here because they like the people and they feel the loving energy. So that's my practice.
In her life, Annie's been a lot of different things. And she's come to realize now that the most important thing you can be is a clown.
And Thomas would say, you play the part of the fool, which in tarot cards, which in Native American Indian medicine, the clown, the fool, is the, one of the most powerful cards in the deck. Because the person who can fall down and laugh at themselves and get back up and find the wisdom in what they just did, or be the vision, be the window for other people. You know, other people are trying so hard not to let you know that they don't know what's going on. They put a lot of energy towards the illusion, right? But the fool doesn't put any energy towards the illusion. You know, it's like, oh, wow. Geez, you walk to the edge of the cliff and you fall, you know, you walk up the end of the wall and you go down 6 feet and you land in a pile of rocks, you know. This is reality. And when you can express it and share it and laugh about it and give it to somebody else so that they don't feel so tense about not making a mistake, then they have the permission to become more real. You're the permission to become real when you're able to laugh at your own stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the power piece. And that's the part that I play. That's why I'm such a comic out there in my market. You know, I talk about erotic hot pads and, you know, all the shit that these people sell. And
yeah, but what else is this good for?
It's a great comedy.
Yeah. But that's the thing, yeah. That's why I tell people I don't feel bad about laughing at other people too much, because, you know, as long as you laugh at yourself just as much.
Like, as long as you laugh at yourself first and foremost, then it's you can get away with anything out there.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a big piece, is not to be the guru, but to be the clown, to be the fool, because that's the one that allows everyone to feel calm. The guru's got everybody like this, you know, the big guy that knows all the answers. You know, they immediately put themselves into a subordinated position. It's not a good position to be in.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at this person that's, you know, doing this craziness around you, it's real easy to feel like there's none of this, but it's all right in here.
All right, and that's where we're going to leave the conversation with Annie Duncan down in Green Valley, Arizona. I want to give a big thank you to Nathan and all the folks at Groundswell Media Productions who keep DaveManning.net going. That's where you can always listen to any of the old episodes of the My Home is on the Road show. Hear some of these stories again if you want, and just groove out to some great tunes on some of the music shows. So DaveManning.net. And I got to say, you know, when I first met Nathan, he was kind of down in the dumps a little bit, and I think when I asked him to do my website, it really kind of cheered him up.
I'm gonna stop saying I'm up, I'm worthless, and I'm gonna start seeing myself as a beautiful human being.
Oh, that's sweet, Nathan. All right, you've been listening to the My Home is on the Road show. My name is Dave Manning. Safe travels and have yourself a fantastic day.
The road's the only place I feel.